Amen. I'd like to start with a question this morning. And the question is, are you the Zion of God? Hallelujah. The scripture says that the, I think it's in Psalms 48, verse 1 and 2, it says, the song and psalm for the sons of Korah, great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, the city of our God in the mountain of his holiness. Verse 2, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Hallelujah. We can ask this question because there is a distinction between Zion and Jerusalem. And there is a distinction between Zion and Israel. Hallelujah. Zion was a section or a hill that was in Jerusalem. And of course, we know Jerusalem was in Israel. Hallelujah. But just because we would be in Israel does not necessarily mean we would also be in Zion.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The same could be said about Jerusalem. Just because we would find ourselves in Jerusalem does not mean that we would also be in Zion. Hallelujah. There's a picture, if I may, that will help us see the distinction of what I'm saying. When the Bible speaks about Israel, it speaks of the whole church of God. Hallelujah. The tabernacle, as it was given to Moses, represents the whole church of God. Hallelujah. But even though we might be partaker of the church of God, and of course you know, to be partaker of the church, it begins with receiving Jesus as Savior. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But there is a progression that God expects, that you and I would not only receive Jesus as Savior, but in process and in due order, we would also make Him Lord. Hallelujah. There are many people who are saved, but Jesus is not Lord of their life. And they live life independently of God. And I suppose when they get in trouble, God becomes a priority. Hallelujah. So you see the necessity for trouble. And our salvation begins with trouble, as it's depicted here by the four posts, the four pillars that is in the midst of the gate. Hallelujah. But it is not that it's one time trouble, but there is a continuation of trouble. Hallelujah. It's only fire fire is the only agent that can induce change, right? And fire is an agent that can reduce something of one type of substance to another. Amen? Hallelujah. But God also created another type of substance that cannot be destroyed by fire, but can only be changed.
Amen.
Right? Wood to fire, the composition of what wood is destroyed and reduced to a substance called ashes. Hallelujah. But you take, for instance, the precious metal gold, and when you put it to the fire, it is not that fire destroys the essence of what gold is, but it purifies it. Right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It purifies it. It changes its molecular structure from a solid to a liquid. Amen? And I suppose, I don't know, maybe in the upper echelons of physics, we know a higher form of liquid is a vapor. Hallelujah. But while gold is yet in the liquid state, the impurities that is in the gold is released and is now allowed to come to the surface. Amen? And can be easily extracted so that what you are left with is a purer form of gold. Hallelujah. So I can imagine when they constructed the tabernacle and all of these things, and those things that were overlaid with gold, it was gold of the highest quality. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It was gold that was fired and purified prior to being applied to the various things. Hallelujah. You have four pillars, which would be indicative of tribulation. So, in the book of Acts, it also says that, howbeit, we through what? Much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, note the word enter. It doesn't say, howbeit we through much tribulation can now see the kingdom of God. It says that we through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It changes the dynamics of the strategy, if you will. Because the truth be known, receiving Jesus as Savior only gives us the capacity to see the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So there's a tribulation that God brings to us to initiate us to the knowledge of the kingdom of God. So as we receive Jesus because of the tribulation, hallelujah, the word says that we receive the life of God that is in the blood of Jesus that now makes you a living soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So on this side, it's dead. Then on this side, it becomes living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the perimeter of the outer court brings a separation between the living and the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God knows that it's not enough to see the kingdom. Because God has an objective in His mind, and that objective is to not only save the soul, but bring perfection to the soul, or to complete the soul as God intended the soul to be.
Yes,
hallelujah. And you see that blueprint in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when he said, "Let us make man in our image," and what? "After our likeness."
Right.
Hallelujah. So we bear the image of God. We have yet to allow the likeness to be created within us. Hallelujah. And so this is the process of coming to being like God. Hallelujah. Now, it's not happenstance that there is five pillars set in the midst of the door of the tabernacle, because God has set a particular standard in the midst of how it is we should be becoming like God. Hallelujah. But I want to point out that as you have five pillars, you have four spaces. Hallelujah. So as it is here, tribulation, in the entering of the gate, so also there is a continuation of tribulation as when it comes to entering the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So when it says, "Howbeit we through much tribulation enter the kingdom of God," this is what it is speaking about. It is speaking about going through the door. Hallelujah. The reality of our situation is we spend most of our time here in the outer court. Praise the Lord. Outer court. Praise the Lord. But God wants us to progress and come to another position that is called Jerusalem. Hallelujah. So the reality of what the holy place is synonymous with Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. Let us turn over our Bibles to the first book of Samuel. And the fifth chapter. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel, the fifth chapter. It says here, verse 3, "And so all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." Oh, I'm sorry, 2 Samuel. Yeah, that would help, wouldn't it? Chapter 5, verse 3. So verse 3. "So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. And David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not enter in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Verse 7, nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same is the city of David. Hallelujah. So you see, there's this higher position that goes beyond the initial experience of the outer court. Hallelujah. And there's a necessity to take, as it says, the stronghold of Zion. Hallelujah. Now, when you consider taking the stronghold of Zion, you have to consider who David was. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible says that David, I think if you flip your Bible back over to the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel, it gives us some insight just who David is. Hallelujah. Here in the 7th verse, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance, nor on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Hallelujah. This is God speaking with Samuel, because even Samuel, as sharp as he was, and as in intimate relationship he had with God, hallelujah, was looking at the situation from an external perspective. Hallelujah. And as good looking, or as well, as no matter how well the appearance was in the eldest, was God set a standard. You understand? Hallelujah. That it is not in the outward of appearance that that God picks and chooses, but it's in what is on the inside and what the condition of the heart is. Hallelujah. That God makes an assessment and makes a choice. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you come down here to the 12th verse. It's interesting. You have this standard here in the 7th verse. 7 is the number of spiritual perfection. Hallelujah. In other words, the assessment that God makes is always from a spiritual perspective. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so you find then a standard being set, and the let's say in the 11th verse, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he saith, there remaineth yet the youngest, behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come thither. Hallelujah. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was a ruddy and withal a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if you look there in your Bible, in the reaccount of the story, you will see that David was the 8th child, hallelujah, of the house of Jesse. Praise the Lord. Here again, I don't believe it's any accident or coincidental. Hallelujah. Because 8 is a number of new beginnings. Hallelujah. So here in the anointing of David as to be the next in succession for the throne over all of Israel, God was bringing an end to the old and initiating the new. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's the same when we speak of Jerusalem and the situation where David took the stronghold of the Jebusites. Now, I'm sure there's a study in and of itself with respect to the Jebusites and the aspect of overcoming them. But the thing I want to draw a distinction of is the reality is there are separation. There are three distinction of separations in the house of God. Hallelujah. And it's up to you and I as to which part of distinction or separation we would want to be part of. Hallelujah. So the holy place is a type of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. And within Jerusalem, there was what is called Mount Zion, or the Hill of Zion. Hallelujah. So Zion then would be a type of the Holy of Holies. Hallelujah. Now I understand that in this place of Mount Zion, during the reign of David, is where David's mighty men dwelt.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now, I don't know if you've read the account of the mighty men. There's 30 of them, I believe, in total. 30 is the number of maturity. So you're talking about men that were seasoned, men that were experienced, and men that were well equipped to excel above the rest. Hallelujah. But the Bible speaks of 3 out of the 30 that were even more they excelled even more. Hallelujah. And I don't know if you've read some of the battles and the situations they were in and the odds that were against them and the fact that they overcame. Hallelujah. Personally, I think that they tapped into some spiritual principle, and God honored the principle and gave them the strength and the wherewithal to do the things that they did. Okay, I will try. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if you we turn our Bible over to the book of Psalms. And I believe it is chapter 134. 132, sorry. It says here, I mean, the whole chapter is actually pertinent, but we will start in the 13th verse. It says, "For the Lord hath chosen Zion, he hath desired it for what? For his inhabitation." Hallelujah. One of the things that God has desired from the beginning, when he said, "Let us make man," is that He might tabernacle within man. Hallelujah. That you and I would become tabernacles for the living God. Hallelujah. But there's a process that must be completed. There is a working out of our salvation so that God would be able to tabernacle within us in the splendor of His glory that He wants to.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for His habitation. For this is my rest forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Hallelujah. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Hallelujah. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. His enemies will I clothe with shame, and upon himself shall his crown flourish. Hallelujah. So when God talks about dwelling and making Zion His habitation, we can use our picture here of the holy place, Holy of Holies, to begin to understand what it is that God desires from us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. In the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. And upon that Ark was the mercy seat. And on the mercy seat was the cherubs. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. To begin to give us the understanding of what just exactly Zion is. Hallelujah. This is actually two pieces of furniture. This is the sixth piece, and this was the seventh piece. The ark represents the plan of God to save humanity. Hallelujah.
Amen.
To save the world. But over the ark was a covering or a lid that is called the mercy seat. Hallelujah. Mercy seat. The Ark of Covenant. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What we have here then is the principle of overshadowing. Praise the Lord. Because when God would come in His majesty, in the glory of His presence, to meet with the high priest, He would come between the wings, the outstretched wings of the cherubs. Hallelujah. And there it was, man would meet face to face, as you will, with the presence of the living God. Hallelujah. You turn your Bibles back over to the 24th or 25th chapter of Exodus. God said, "Let them make a sanctuary for me that I might dwell among them." Hallelujah. Now, we know that this, in actuality, in the physical form, is no longer with us, right? But the principle and the desire that God had is still very much in progress. Hallelujah. So we use the natural to begin to understand the principles that are involved that will help us become overcomers.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because when the Bible speaks of Zion, it's speaking of those that are overcoming. Hallelujah. The 30 mighty men of David, that core of elite, if you will. Now, they're not elite because of some special designation by birth or society or culture, you understand. They are elite because, one, they have volunteered. Two, because they have submitted themselves to the rigors of the training in order to be equipped and furnished to be, so they can qualify for this position, this place. Hallelujah. Now, I'm sure it is the same here as it is in the United States. But in the United States, in the Army, they have the different branches of the armed forces. And you can enlist, you can volunteer, you sign up, and you go into the due training, the due discipline, and those things that they condition you and equip you to become a soldier of the United States Army. Hallelujah. But they have what they call the Navy SEALs. And it's a branch or a division in the armed forces that is special operations. Hallelujah. And they are a team of individuals that are given special operations, special cases. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that it is not just a matter of asking for a transfer from one position of the army to this position of the army. Hallelujah. In fact, the class will start out with maybe 80 individuals. And by the time they're done with their 6 weeks or 8 weeks, however long the training is, they have whittled down the 80 to about 14. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the things they submit them to, the conditions, we're talking about having to be in the ocean, 50 degree water, and just lay there, freezing, shivering. Hallelujah. Being pushed, 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 pushed. Sleep deprivation. Kept up 24, 36, 48 hours. Hallelujah. Pushing them, pushing them, pushing them. Until the ones that do not have the presence of mind to overcome begin to break and succumb to the pressure. Hallelujah. And as it is a voluntary, it's voluntary to sign up, to opt out also is voluntary. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's no particular shame in the aspect of those that decide to drop out. Hallelujah. But there would be something of maybe a regret. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But this is the things that they do in the natural, and something they plug into something of a spiritual reality. Hallelujah. Because there's something that the ones that have made it through, they testify of. That it's in the mind. Hallelujah. They break through the barrier that the mind says is the barrier. Hallelujah. And somehow or another, they tap into an energy that gives them the ability to overcome.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now that is something in the natural. That's something that the heathen, hallelujah, are able to accomplish. Hallelujah. And I suppose it has something to do with what they were doing there at the Tower of Babel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God said, when He came down to look at the progress they were making, you know, they were not only making progress in a physical realm, in the construction of this tower, and the construction of this society that they were creating, but there was something that they were making advancements in the spiritual realm. Hallelujah. And God knew that if He did not intervene, it says that there would be nothing that they could not accomplish because the people are one. Hallelujah. And so it is that we find that God intervened there, and from there until now, man has been working to come full circle back to that place of unity that was interrupted. Hallelujah. But I think we can safely say that God is not going to be interrupted this time. Hallelujah. Because there's something that God is looking for and that God will have in the earth, and it is those that want to be part of the Zion Company. Hallelujah. Because the Zion Company is God's answer to the unity that man is going to create. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because unfortunately, the unity that man is creating is a destructive force. Hallelujah. The truth of the matter is, you just look into the arenas of science and so on and so forth, and the things they are doing, man will eliminate himself. Hallelujah. When you consider what they are doing to the food, man will eliminate himself just in the food alone. Hallelujah. The progress they are making with GMO, genetically modified organism. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That in itself can eradicate the human race. Hallelujah. But God, in His wisdom, is bringing us a revelation that will overcome and subdue and be triumphant with respect to what man and the knowledge of man is creating. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we have here in the 132nd chapter of Psalm, he says, "This is my rest forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You look in the 5th chapter of Matthew, in the 3rd verse, it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for what? For theirs," does it say, "for theirs is the kingdom of God?" Is that what it says?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. So, poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. Does that mean this? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Truth is, it can help. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Poor in spirit. See, Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Hallelujah. For all those things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. To this man will I look. So in other words, he asks the question, where is my house, and where is the place that I should dwell? And then in verse 2, he gives us the answer. Because he says, this man. So it is man that God is looking for as a place in whom to dwell. Praise the Lord. This man will I look, even to him that is what? Poor and of a contrite spirit, and does what? Trembleth at my word. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. What we need is a healthy fear of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So when the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, he's talking about those that are poor or broken before God. Amen. In the aspect of who God is, and who has a healthy, reverential awe of who God is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we begin to see something of it. If you flip your Bible back here to Isaiah 57 and verse 15. It says, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. Praise the Lord. We were talking about eternity yesterday. Whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the hearts of the contrite ones.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I believe there is a spirit from God that precedes revival, and it's the spirit that is reviving the hearts of God's people. Hallelujah. But at the same time, God has a responsibility to all of his house, and to give to you and I an opportunity to choose what it is we really want. Praise the Lord. The aspect of what church has become has lost the original intent. Hallelujah. When we talk about the outer court experience, and we say the outer court church, we're talking about the church that has not progressed any further in growth and maturity as far as God is concerned. Hallelujah. And unfortunately, the church that does not grow and mature often becomes a denomination. Praise the Lord. If you just consider the word denomination, that in itself should give us some insight and understanding to know that it is not a position that one would want to be found in. Hallelujah. Denomination, D, comes from the word division. Of course, nomination means to appoint or to identify a certain sector or group of people as being under a certain identity. Hallelujah. When you look at the whole of the tabernacle, which part of it is divided and separated from the rest? Hallelujah. None of it is separate, divided, you understand. Hallelujah. But there are places within. As the tabernacle is within the outer court, and the Holy of Holies is within the tabernacle itself. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So when we speak of reviving the hearts of the contrite ones, we're talking about a renewal to the original revelation that God brought to the church. Hallelujah. Is it Philemon or Philippians? It says to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Hallelujah. The devil has been in church business for a long time and has been working to divert the church from its original course. Hallelujah. But there is a people that is coming and that we can be partakers of that will not be diverted. Hallelujah. So we want to set our eye on Zion of all places. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's see. So we were in Psalm 132. I will satisfy the poor with bread. I will clothe also her priests with salvation. Her saints shall shout aloud with joy. Hallelujah. There will I make the horn of David to bud. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So we coming back here to this Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. And we're looking at the principle of over, shadow, overshadowing. Hallelujah. This is the process that is designed by God and implemented by God to bring you and I to perfection. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You turn your Bible over to the book of Luke. In the first chapter, the 26th verse, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutations this should be. Hallelujah. Woman in the Bible is synonymous with church. The church of God. Praise the Lord. Now, maybe I should back up for a second and give a further distinction of what church is. Praise the Lord. In Matthew, is it the 16th chapter? Yeah, 16th chapter and the 18th verse. And I say unto thee, now this is Christ speaking to Peter, and I'm sure you are familiar with the story, right? Jesus asked the question, he says, Who do you think I am? Praise the Lord. And it really, the truth is, from the moment we received Jesus as Savior, God has been asking you and I the same question. Hallelujah. Whom do you think I am? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, Peter... So he says unto Peter, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. So when he said, Thou art Peter, he said, Thou art a little stone. Hallelujah. And upon this rock, big stone, I will build my church. Right? Hallelujah. So we understand that Christ is the rock, and that Peter, as a little stone, was going to be made partaker of the bigger rock, which is Christ, and thereby Christ make building his church. Hallelujah. But the word church here in the Greek is ekklesia. Ekklesia. Hallelujah. Ek means out of. And Kalesia, I think it's Kaleo. Yes, Kaleo. So you have ek, which is out of, and the other root word is Kaleo, which means to call. Hallelujah. So you would say, to be called out of. Hallelujah. So when he uses the word, when he used the term church, or in the Greek it says ecclesia, he's speaking of those that are called out of. Praise the Lord. So you ask the question, called out of what? And called to what? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So you are called out of the world, and you are called to the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Notice that when he speaks of the church, it speaks of going from this position to this position as far as the outer court is concerned. Hallelujah. But we also find out that there's yet another distinction. If you turn your Bible over to the 24th chapter of Matthew, in the 22nd verse, it says, except those days should be shortened. Well, let's start in the 21st verse. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not seen since the beginning of the world, to this time neither shall be. Hallelujah. So we're talking about our day. Amen. Hallelujah. That there is great tribulation that is coming. In verse 22, and except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Hallelujah. So we see here a progression that is called the elect. Hallelujah. The word for elect in the Greek is electos. Ek. Lek. Hallelujah. Same as ecclesia, ek, out of, and the other root word is egliomia, something of that. I don't know if I can pronounce it quite right. But what it means is out of and selected. Hallelujah. Out of. Hallelujah. So can you begin to see the picture? You see the aspect of being called out of the world and to the kingdom of God, but then there's yet another call that would call those out of the called out into yet another position of relationship. Hallelujah. You see it with Gideon and his 300. 300 is the number of the overcomers. Amen. Now, it's no mistake that the total perimeter of the outer court, or the whole layout, was also 300. 300 cubits. Praise the Lord. Noah's Ark was 300 cubits. Now, none of these things are mistake or coincidence, you understand, but they were things that were done on purpose. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. The ark that Noah built represents the salvation that God God gave command to be created for mankind in Noah's day. Hallelujah. This represents the salvation that God is in the process of creating, not just to save man, as it were, like Noah did. Hallelujah. But to bring a finality of salvation for the whole world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I don't know. Have you noticed? Do you notice the progression? In Noah's day, destruction came by water. Amen. So, in effect, the world itself was baptized. Amen? What is it that we receive? What is it that should be initiated after receiving Jesus as Savior? A baptism. Right? Baptism in water. Praise the Lord. But what follows the baptism in water? A baptism in fire. Hallelujah. So God brought a baptism in Noah's day by water. Hallelujah. Which brought a judgment upon the world, but it also brought a salvation. Because Noah was obedient with respect to building the ark.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know. Have you ever thought about the fact that Noah did not have the opportunity to test the boat? To test the boat. We build a product, right? We test it. We prove it. We see if the product will withstand what the product was designed for. And once the product has passed all the tests, then it is approved and made available to the general public. Is it not so? Hallelujah. Now, can you imagine? You are not building a sailboat, not building a little rowboat. You're building this monstrosity called the ark. Hallelujah. And so it was imperative that Noah followed the instructions that God gave him in order that that boat would succeed in what it was designed to do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And I believe there was a wisdom there that man is just now finding out and implementing in what man does. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So the church can be defined by the ecclesia, and out of the ecclesia becomes the electos, or the elect. Hallelujah. And you see it there with Gideon and his 300. Right?
Amen.
Gideon put out a general call to arms. It was not specific. It was not that you had to meet certain requirements. It was not selective on purpose. Praise the Lord. And 32,000 answered the call. But God was with Gideon and gave Gideon very specific instruction, because as God said, those that are with you are too many, least. You would say that it was by your own arm and your own strength you won the victory. Hallelujah. So God, in the process, eliminated from 32,000 to 10,000, and then again from 10,000, 300. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The question we want to ask ourselves is, which of the three groups do you want to be part of? Hallelujah. You could be part of the... doing the math in my head. We're trying. Is it 23,000 that initially left? Or the 9,700? Hallelujah. Brethren, the prize is in the 300. Hallelujah. But it's interesting that in order to acquire the 300, it was how they were selected. Praise the Lord. There's a scripture in 2 Peter. Wherefore, brethren, give all diligence to make your calling and your election sure. Hallelujah. If you look up the word calling in the Greek, it will give you the word kaleo, which means to be invited. Praise the Lord. So as far as the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned, every one of them has been given an invite to become partakers of the overcomers. Hallelujah. But then you look at the word election. Make your calling and your election sure. The word election is the word selected. Hallelujah. So in other words, what we do with our invite will determine the selection process. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So if we come back here to the book of Luke, and we see that Gabriel brings a word to Mary. Now the situation is that it is not Gabriel's word, but it's God's word. And Gabriel is just the messenger. Hallelujah. And we see in the Bible that Gabriel is one of those designated, has a designated position before God in the aspect of delivering a message to whom he is sent. Hallelujah. And as we see, woman is a type of the church. So we can begin to see the parallel, amen, that God has sent to his church his word, amen. And for us who is the messenger that he has sent. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Is it verse 11? And he gave. Okay, who is he? It's God, right? So we can say, and God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some shepherds and teachers. So we see who he gave or what he gave. Now we see why he gave it. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So the fivefold ministry is the messengers that God has sent to bring the word of God. Hallelujah. Now, keep in mind that it's the word of God and that the ministry is simply the messengers of God. Hallelujah. Now, you know the ministry because if you want the word of God, then there is something in you that will begin to witness that this is the word of God. Hallelujah. So it's the word of God that qualifies the vessel as being sent from God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So here it is that we see why there are five pillars set in the midst of the door of the tabernacle. Hallelujah. They signify the messengers that God has sent in the midst to bring the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now there's another thought. What is it that the 300 did with Gideon that qualified them as being numbered among the 300? What is it they did? It is how they drank the water. Hallelujah. What did they use to drink the water with? Was it not their hand? Amen. How many fingers are on your hand? There are five. Do you think it's a coincidence that God designed you on purpose to have a thing called the hand? Now, if you consider the order of your day and how much of it, how much of your day, the things you do during the day involve your hand. Hallelujah. So we can say, in effect, that your hand was designed to minister to your body. Amen? Hallelujah. So you begin to see, in the natural, He gave us an example of what is happening in the Spirit. That God has appointed and given a fivefold ministry, or we can say the hand of God, if you will, by which to do the work and the will of God. Until. Amen? So, there's a space given. Hallelujah. Now, when you look at these five pillars, how tall are they? You know, you can't say. Hallelujah. How tall? All right, I'll give you a clue. How tall was the tabernacle itself? Still don't get it? 10 cubits. Hallelujah. The boards of the tabernacle, the structure itself, was 10 cubits tall. Hallelujah. So the pillars that were set here were also 10 cubits tall. Hallelujah. How tall is man? So did someone say six? So man, in his unregenerated state, comes 6 cubits in height. Amen? So you see, God has set the standard higher than where we are, but He has also provided for us the means by which we may grow thereby. Hallelujah. 10 is also the number of the law, and so it speaks of coming to a place of maturity in fulfilling the law. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So verse 13, till we all come. Now, who is we? Both body and ministry alike. Praise the Lord. Come into the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a, what? Perfect man. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So the measure of the stature is 10 cubits. Stature is your height. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Hallelujah. So it's bidimensional. Praise the Lord. You remember this. Amen. Your three-dimensional box. First, natural. Second, spiritual. Three, the fullness. Hallelujah. So God is not only going to give definition by stature in height alone, but He's going to give definition also in the fullness within the body. Right? What does it say? It says, compacted together, every joint supplieth. Can we find that scripture? Ephesians 4. Oh, it's a little further down, isn't it? Okay. Oh, yeah. From which the whole body, what? Fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we come back again to Luke at this situation with Mary. And the angel said unto her, this is verse 30, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou hast received in thy womb, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Praise the Lord. So this is the word of God to Mary, and coming down to verse 34. And then Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Praise the Lord. I like this statement because I think she was not only stating her position as being a virgin, but I think she was also saying that position is not going to change. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? And of course, virgin speaks of those that are in a right standing with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And the angel said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. So you see here the principle of overshadowing. That God would desire to overshadow His people, and in the midst of them being overshadowed, that within them would be deposited the seed of Christ. Hallelujah. And that seed would give way to the nature of Christ, so that you begin to come forth not as you have been, as you came from your Father, but now after the likeness of your Heavenly Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And very simply, God gave us another picture like this. We have God, or we should say Father. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I am spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Now, when I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I receive it in my spirit. And so then, the totality of what God is, who God is now complete in my spirit. Amen? You see, it's in... is it Ephesians? It says that the earnest of our inheritance... Ephesians, the first chapter... The 13th verse, in whom ye also trusted after ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest of your inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Praise the Lord. What is the purchased? What is the purchased possession? It is your soul. The purchased possession is your soul. Hallelujah. That is the first thing that God begins to... the first thing He does when we are born again is give us the blood to the soul. Hallelujah. Thereby making the soul a living soul. Hallelujah. The next thing God gives us is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but what He gives us, as the Bible says, a earnest, or we say, down payment. Until the redemption of the purchased possession. Hallelujah. Because if we want to be redeemed to the capacity that God wants to redeem us, God has put it into our hands in the form of a choice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's why we have the parable of the five wise and the five foolish. Praise the Lord. Now, you remember what we read there in Psalms 132? He said, I will make, verse 17, I will make the horn of David to bud. I have what? Ordained a lamp for my anointed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So when He talks about ordaining a lamp for His anointed, what He is talking about is the spirit of man. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 2027. All right. I always get it flipped around. Proverbs 20 and verse 27. What does it say? The candle of the Lord. I'm sorry. Yes, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching the inward parts of the belly. Hallelujah. Belly. It's talking about the soul. Hallelujah. So God gave man a spirit, so that the Spirit would be the lamp of God to search the inward parts of the belly. Hallelujah. So when he says, I will give, I have ordained a lamp for my anointed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. How can you be called the anointed unless you are anointed? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So it's the lamp that would also give us the anointing. Hallelujah. So when he talks about in Ephesians, he says that the Holy Spirit is our down payment until the redemption of the purchased possession. Hallelujah. It's just like buying your house, right? I'm assuming you buy it the way we buy it, or have bought it. Hallelujah. You go to the bank. You agree on the purchase price. The bank requires you to put down a certain amount of money. Hallelujah. And then thereafter, every month, you make a payment until the balance due is what? Paid in full. Hallelujah. So what we want is to be paid in full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And what God, the thing that we are being paid with is perfection. Hallelujah. 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 So we have here the principle of overshadowing, right? So Gabriel is sent of God with the word of God to Mary. Gabriel gives her the message, amen, and gives her the knowledge of how. Let's see, where was I? Luke. The knowledge okay, verse 36, and behold thy cousin Elizabeth, she also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Hallelujah. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know. Do you realize what happened there? She accepted the word. Hallelujah. And accepted the consequences that was going to arise out because of the word. Hallelujah. And thereby, the Word began to create within her the very thing that was promised.
Oh, yes.
Hallelujah. It's the same. It's the same for you and I on a spiritual level. God brings us the Word. We hear the Word. Now it is up to us as to whether or not we will receive the word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And if we receive the word will initiate the process of creating within us the nature of Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because it's in the Holy Spirit that we let into the soul that begins to deposit the seed of the nature of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Amen.